Great Scott!
Are you a sports fan who loves to have a good laugh?
Oh, yeah!
Then you're in the right place.
I'm going to make him an offer again.
Life moves pretty fast.
The Patriots win the
Welcome
Super Bowl!
Welcome to the Man Cave Chronicles.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's podcast. This week I have a writer, creator, director, he's a little bit of everything, Bobby Del Rio. Bobby, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I feel a little bad. My boy Connor went down, but, you know, we took Mayweather to 10 rounds, so you got to respect that.
Yeah, I was a little bummed out about that, too. I was kind of hoping Connor was going to take him and first five rounds.
Yeah, I figured like that was his only chance. But like, it's crazy because I actually had tweeted like Connor was going to take him out in the second. I don't know. I got all excited and Connor was like, I'll take him in the first round, knockout.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen. And then he was so like cautious in that first round. And I was like, oh, but you can't outbox like a real boxer, you know what I mean? Like in a strategic kind of way.
Yeah, I think Mayweather had an idea what he was doing against him.
Yeah, for sure.
He was like, I'm going to make this guy last as much as he can, get him all tired, and then just pretty much go off on him.
But like 10 rounds, man, for a guy who never like had a professional boxing fight against a guy who's now 50-0, I mean, pretty impressive stuff.
Oh, yeah, I think he did really good.
Oh, yeah.
So... All right, so let's talk about your IRL web series.
Yeah, so IRL series is a web series about social media. So it's an anthology series. So basically just means like every episode is like a different genre. So we have some episodes that are like horror. We have some that are like film noir, like kind of like black and white detective. You know, we've got drama, we've got comedy, we've got thriller. It's a pretty unique experience, and you know, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. We sold it to Bell Media up here in Canada, which is like the biggest media corporation in the country.
Yeah.
So it's done pretty well.
How many episodes have you filmed?
So there's 12 different episodes.
Yeah. And is your plan to release more?
I guess it kind of depends. I mean, I'm doing a lot of sort of podcasts all across the U.S. right now. The feedback's been pretty good. I mean, one of our episodes has almost 100,000 views, just one episode. So, you know, there's definitely, it's kind of like some episodes do way better than others.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get a sense of like, okay, like, do people really dig it? Is there a market for more? Yeah.
So how did you, tell the listeners, how did you come up with the idea for the show?
Well, it's interesting. The way that we actually made the project was I was like bored one day on Facebook and I said, hey, anybody want to make a film? And like I was thinking I would do a short film and I was like, anybody who just replies, like, well, you know, I'll take you on. And I thought like 5 to 10 people would sign up, and then 65 people signed up in 36 hours.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh crap, like now I need a project big enough to accommodate 65 people. And social media, it was just always something that I really wanted to explore. I'd had a lot of negative experiences, like confrontations on Facebook and, you know, some sort of like bullying stuff. And, you know, I've just been attacked a lot online.
Yeah.
So I guess I kind of wanted to know, like, why that was happening.
So, so what did you say? So you started writing a script pretty much around that?
Well, it was actually interesting because basically what we did is we started rehearsing, but we started basically having like academic discussions like every week. And then we would rehearse for like, you know, 2 or 3 hours. We would improvise based on the conversations that we would have and art. And we would, you know, we created a Facebook group and we would like share all these sort of relevant newspaper articles with each other. And we'd have interesting conversations. And then we were basically just exploring for months about the social media space and what stories existed there and what stories we actually wanted to tell. So I wasn't actually writing. It was more like we were kind of all creating it together.
Yeah. And how did you find room for 65 people to be on the show?
So in the end, our cast for the final episodes is 35. Basically, what I did was I was like, we're going to rehearse this thing, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know when we're going to shoot it, but basically you have to show up and contribute, and if you don't, then you're either like not going to be part of it, or you're going to be have a very small part of it.
Yeah.
And eventually what happened is people just dropped off, right? Because most people, you know, they don't want to just commit to something where they don't even know what it is. And it was a big time commitment. I think a lot of people just kind of wanted to get like a gig. So once it became sort of a like earn your spot kind of deal, like quite a few people bailed, but quite a few people were pretty hardcore about it. And the people who were hardcore became our series leads.
Yeah. And where do you film this?
We shot everything in like in Toronto and the GTA. So basically everything was around Toronto or like small cities around Toronto.
Yeah. Did you have any backers for the show?
Yeah. So we ran an Indiegogo and we were pretty successful. I mean, we not only did we hit our goal, we went a few thousand dollars over our goal. And then based on the success, we had a lot of traction. In the social media space, everyone was talking about our show and sort of sharing and posting and retweeting and everything. And then so Bell Media, which is, again, the biggest media corporation in the country, they have a channel called 5TV1. And I guess Paul Gardner, who's the exec over there, he kept seeing all these posts where so many people in a community here in Toronto kept talking about our show, sharing. So eventually it got on his radar. And he thought the idea was really cool. So then they actually bought us. So I didn't even pitch them. They came to me.
Yeah. Do you own the rights to this show still? Or do they own it now because they came to you? And
yeah, I own all the rights.
You own all the rights. So in other words, if you want to do another season, you would.
Yeah, it's kind of up to me. I mean, the truth is, so I've got two feature screenplays in development with a major Hollywood studio. With like some A-list talent attached, and I have another series that I've optioned to another producer here, and I've been acting in quite a few things, so my career's kind of taken off since IRL.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, that's, you know, why I did the show, but I've got so many options in front of me, it's kind of up to me, you know.
Yeah. Did you go to school for pretty much to be in the entertainment business, or did you just decide one day this is what I want to do?
I went to acting school. I went to U of T originally for economics, the University of Toronto, and then I transferred to theater. And I was, you know, I was kind of a drama club nerd my whole life, so my mother wasn't shocked when I just fully transferred to theater in university. So I went to theater school and I learned how to, you know, kind of do Shakespeare and write plays, and it was a 4-year program. It was really great. It was called the Theater and Drama Studies program with the University of Toronto in Mississauga and Sheridan College. And I got a degree and a diploma at the same time, and I started writing plays and directing plays and acting in plays when I was in school, and winning awards. And, you know, it's funny, like before I graduated from university, I had a documentary crew follow me around. And I was the star of this documentary that aired on television across Canada before I'd graduated from school. Yeah. So I guess I was kind of like a, I don't know, sort of like a hotshot young theater guy.
Yeah, I read that in your little bio here that they did a 30-minute documentary that it was aired in Canada on Bravo, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And I was super young, man. I mean, it was like so it aired like I think 4 months after I graduated from university, but I mean, they were filming me for like a year.
Yeah. And how did that feel? Like, you know, having a camera following you around?
Well, it's funny, right? Because now like we all have cameras, so it's not really a big deal. But yeah, at the time it was pretty weird. Like it was like, well, who follows people around? Like, I think this was before like the Kardashians and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I didn't know anybody who had a documentary done about them. on TV. Like, that was a big deal. Like, now, like, there's so many, you know, like there's people who just film themselves and do these little series on Instagram and stuff like that. But, like, social media didn't exist when that happened. So it was kind of weird. I mean, I was, like, I felt like kind of like a bit of a celebrity, you know?
Yeah. Would people stop you in the streets after seeing you on that documentary? Like, they knew who you were?
I mean, it was more, you know, like, people who knew me. I mean, for sure, like, and also at the same time, so we have a prestigious arts magazine here in Toronto called Now Magazine. So at the same time that I had this documentary coming out, like, I was on the cover of that magazine for another play I had written. So I had so much publicity right out of school. And, you know, Canada's very different from the U.S. Like, we don't really have, like, paparazzi and, like,
a
star system and stuff. So it was kind of weird. Like, it's not like I was a celebrity. I mean, I did feel like one, to be honest. And I was 23. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But most people don't end up, like, on the cover of, like, newspapers or magazines and, like, have TV documentaries done about them. I mean, even now to this day, like, a lot of people don't really have that experience. But to have it so young, I mean, it was really weird. Like, I'm grateful, but it definitely kind of, like, I don't want to say that it messed me up, but it really changed the way people saw me and changed the way they treated me.
Yeah. Were there people, like, nervous talking to you?
Yeah, but there's also people trying to get in with me, and then there's people who hated me. There was someone who created I Hate Bobby Del Rio at Hotmail.com and started, like, just kind of trashing me.
Did you? Was that somebody that you knew, or it was just a random person?
It was a random. Yeah, like, it was just fucking abuse. Am I allowed to swear? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, like, it was just some random fucking dude or chick. I mean, I don't know. It was just some person that just, like, started trash. Like, it was just, like, online bullying before online bullying was, like, a thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary too, man, because I was, like, just out of school and whatever. It's like, it's not like it's hard to create, like, an email account, but, like, someone took the time to create, like, I Hate Bobby Del Rio at Hotmail.com and then start abusing me through that. Like, it's kind of scary, you know? You're like, well, what's next? Like, what else are they going to do? And I don't know. That was my first experience with sort of major exposure in the entertainment industry. And you don't really know what's happening. You're like, oh, like, am I going to get actually famous? Like,
yeah.
Am I going to get stalked? Am I going to, like...
Yeah, you got to stop worrying about things.
Yeah, so I was definitely freaked out, man. I mean, I kind of took it in stride, but I think... To be fair, I think I handled it decently, but for sure, like, it definitely got to my head. And it's definitely a lot to deal with at such a young age.
Yeah. How old are you now?
I'm going to be 40 this year.
Okay. Yeah.
But pretty much, like, I was getting more attention than every playwright in the country, like, a few months out of school. And, you know, it's not really like an earned thing. It's not like I was the best playwright in the country or anything. It's just like you just get lucky. The right thing happens. Somebody thinks you'd be good for their thing and you can sell some papers or whatever they think. And then because, oh, you're doing this thing and then someone wants to film you. And like it just kind of snowballs, right?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like, I started a podcast, but, you know, like there's a million podcasts out there.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you really want to call it a competition because, you know, you have, you know, celebrities that have podcasts, which everybody listens to. Then you have somebody, you know, like a regular guy like me that has a podcast and, you know, I do get listeners, but I probably don't have a million listeners like, you know, somebody like Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla.
Yeah. But I mean, they were just dudes at one point, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's the thing, right? Like, one thing I've learned, I have a 20-year career in the industry, is that I never invalidate anybody's potential, or who's to say that you're not the next Howard Stern?
You're right. You never know.
You know? So when I was 26, I produced a short film, and one of our lead actors was a guy named Aubrey Graham. Do you know who that is?
I do not.
So he, you might know him by his stage name. His stage name is Drake.
Okay. Now I do.
So this is the thing, right? I mean, like, literally, he was just one of our actors. And he was friends with the director, and he was a really great actor. He did a great job. But, like, 3 years later, he's, like, I don't know, like, the most famous rapper in the world or whatever. Like, it's, like, I've just, you know, I've experienced myself, like, some aspects of, I don't know if you want to call it fame or publicity or whatever you want to say, but I, there's a lot of people who know who I am.
Yeah.
But it also comes and goes. And I've also worked with people like Drake, who's like world famous. So, and he was just a guy, like he was friends with my brother, like they hung out and stuff. And I'm in an industry where people get legit famous and you never know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
So Howard Stern was once just a guy named Howard Stern.
Yeah. I remember watching like a documentary on him. He was just a regular little radio jock.
The Man Cave Chronicles on Twitter at the MCC Podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, Brian Padone here, founder of Quiet Punch. When I'm not listening to the Man Cave Chronicles, you can catch me filming one of my live workouts on quietpunch.com. Check it out today. That's quietpunch.com.
This is Adam Nutter.
And this is Greg Trout.
And we're Nerds with Words, and you are listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Yeah. And especially now, man, with all the social media and everything, it's like you can get a lot of attention like really, really, really fast. Like
yep.
If the right thing click. Now, it's funny, though, because it's like you can also lose it really, really fast because there's so, everyone's competing for attention all the time. Right.
Yeah. Well, you have to use social media as pretty much like, you have to be consistent on it if you want attention.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think that this the fascination with how society was changing so quickly was kind of the reason I wanted to make IRL as well. Like, we really explore a lot of these aspects in the show because this is the new way that our society communicates, you know?
Yeah. When did you film this?
We filmed it, I want to say last year. Yeah, it must have been last year. I guess it would have been 2016.
And you, how long did it take you before you started releasing episodes?
IRL was a long process because, first we were just going to shoot it and we had the money to do it. But then once we got the TV deal, we had to work out all this. We had a contract with them. So we had to, they had a certain time that they wanted to show it. So we had signed a deal where basically it was going to be on TV for a month before we could put it online.
Yeah.
So it changed all the deadlines. And then once I found out that we were going to be TV, because we were just going to release it on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was always going to be like this fun thing.
Yeah.
And we are on YouTube now, but first it was a television series. So once I knew it was going to be on TV, and it's also like the biggest media corporation in the country. So I've made a lot of like major connections in television in our country through IRL, the series. So I knew that I had to like basically make it as good as I could make it. So it kind of pushed everything 6 months because then I started to hire professional writers to come in and we started a writing room and I ran the writing room and, you know, a couple of our writers got hired by a big show up here called Orphan Black.
Okay.
Like Tatiana Maslany, who's a star of that show. She won the Emmy for Best Actress, I think, a couple years ago.
So you also helped launch people's careers by doing your show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
So,
Because, like, in the Orphan Black press release, like, they mentioned IRL, the series. Like, it was, like, people's... There's, like, it was somebody's significant credit, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can, I'm recording from the U.S. If somebody wanted to watch your show right now, what would they need to do? How can they watch it?
Well, on television, they would have to subscribe to Bell, which is only for Canada, but they could just watch. It's on YouTube. Like, if you just punch in IRL, the series, all 12 episodes are there.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You can go to our website, too. It's IRLtheseries.com.
Okay.
If you watch it through our site, I think we get better statistics or something. But to be honest, I don't know anything about that crap.
Yeah. Well, how does that help you more? Which way would be better for you, for them to go on YouTube or go on your website?
It's better on our website because we can just kind of track who's watching it a bit better.
Yeah.
But honestly, either one's fine, man. I mean, I'm an artist. It's like, you know, I just want people to kind of see my work, you know?
Yeah. And what's the, what are those feature films that you're working with a couple of the U.S. stars that have been attached to it?
They're action movies. I'm not allowed to say beyond that. They haven't been greenlit. An offer was made. Okay. And then it was like, there's some drama went down. So there's still some back and forth negotiating, but you know, like there was like a 6-figure
yeah.
offer made just for the writing fees and stuff. Right. So they're big projects, but Hollywood's such a weird place, man. It's like, they get this star and then he becomes unavailable and then this one person wants to do it, but then this other person wants to do it and then they lose the money, but then they got to get another investor and then
is this something that if it gets approved, you have to go work in the U.S. or can you still work out of Canada?
Well, I mean, so there's two projects, right? One I'm a co-writer on with another guy and one I'm the only writer. So like, I don't really have to be in Hollywood to actually do my job. Like I've done my job from here.
Yeah.
But it's just up to them, really. I mean, it's like if you need me on set to do rewrites, then yeah, potentially I would go to LA for shooting. But I don't know, it's all premature. They haven't been greenlit yet, but apparently, like again, we had an offer for one and then my other script they like loved. So it's kind of like, it's interesting, right? It's kind of like things will happen very, very quickly and it looks like we're going to shoot any day and then something falls apart and then I don't hear from them for like a couple of months and then,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's all exciting to me, you know? I started as a sort of actor and a playwright out of Canada and now I'm writing for Hollywood. I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, you also worked on, was it called The Market movie?
Yeah, so I wrote and directed a feature film called The Market, which is kind of like a gangster movie about Wall Street bond traders. So we, you know, it was my best play that we did here in 2010. So we filmed it, turned to a feature film, you know, super low budget, but it turned out really well. So we had screenings. It toured actually India. Like there's several cities in India that have seen my film. It played in Italy. We've had some screenings here in Toronto. It's a tough climate for indie film because there's so many films being made.
Yeah.
And my film is like the most vulgar film ever made by design, right? Because like bond traders on Wall Street, like certain sects of them are like super just like vulgar and disgusting. So my film is sort of like the characters are homophobic and racist and sexist. And obviously I'm not, but they are. So I wanted to depict them authentically so that we could really examine like, you know, like the kind of people that would do the things that they're doing and have done. But I think because of that, the language has scared like certain festivals and distributors because they don't necessarily want to be attached to that kind of language. But I mean, I don't really know, man. Honestly, like most people who watch the film, they're like, holy crap, like it's really good. And I feel very confident in it. But for whatever reason, like a lot of film festivals are really just not wanting to program it.
Yeah. What did you do an Indiegogo thing for this too, or did you like just put up the money yourself to film this?
Like basically half the money came from Indiegogo, and then I had shot a commercial as an actor, and I just basically took all the money I made from that and put it into the film, and that basically paid for the film.
Yeah, and how long did it take you to film this?
So that this is actually, I mean, we actually shot that a few years ago. I think maybe it was 2013, 2014. Although we were editing it for 2 years because we had no money.
Yeah.
We ran out of money. But to actually shoot the film only took like 9 shooting days.
Okay.
But it was like, that was 9 days spread out over the course of 2 months. And then we were in pre-production for like, I want to say something crazy like a year because we were raising all this money and we'd never made it. None of us had really made a feature before. So we were figuring out how the hell we were going to do that. And it was like 3 or 4 years after we had actually done the play. So the entire process from when I first wrote the script to when it ended up being a feature film that was done was maybe 5 or 6 years. I mean, it was quite a long time.
Have a question for the Man Cave Chronicles? Tweet them now at the MCC Podcast.
RotoWear.com.
RotoWear.
Big shout out to the RotoWear company.
It's so goddamn comfortable.
Can't recommend them enough, man. Yeah. High quality t-shirts.
Shout out to RotoWear.com.
You see me rocking the shirts on the videos and stuff like that.
Where'd you get that?
RotoWear.
That is courtesy of RotoWear.
It's just the highest quality of shirt.
Yeah, I really like the baseball designs you got here.
The shirt is beautiful.
Everybody who I've talked to who has the shirt basically says they can't believe how good the quality is.
Yeah, Ken, I've seen you. You've been getting a lot of love. You said you've been only running for a little over a month.
CBS guys are tweeting out shirts. I'm seeing fantasy personalities everywhere digging this guy's shirt.
I love the Run DFS shirt.
It comes with baseball cards with all the different shirts on it.
RotoWear on Twitter. Check out RotoWear.com.
Oh my God. Is this shirt making love to me right now? Like, what's going on? I love this shirt.
Hey, this is Adam Nutter.
And this is Greg Trout. Come check out our podcast, Nerds with Words. Adam and I talk about pop culture, comedy, comic books, movies, conspiracies. We're both comedians and we might make you laugh. Every week we welcome a guest from the entire spectrum of pop culture and science and comedy. You can follow us on Twitter at NerdsWithWords1.
This is John Poveromo and you're listening to the Man Cave Chronicles.
Did you have like a casting call for this too, or was it just random people that you just knew that you were just going to put them on?
Well, for the play, a friend of mine that I played basketball with, a guy named Kyle McDonald, we went to theater school together. He had done a play where he basically played a character that was very similar to the lead in my character, my movie. It was a play at the time. Basically, he was just like kind of a dick, and he did it really well. And I was like, oh my God, he'd be perfect. So then when we did the play, we were friends, and you know, I knew we had acted together in theater school. So I knew that he could act, and I was like, and I knew he'd be perfect for the part. So I said, let's do a reading. You play this part and you cast your buddies in the other roles. Because the whole point of the play was basically, it was like a bunch of friends who basically like fuck the world and like steal all this money. Right.
Yeah.
So I needed to have this feel. It was like a bunch of friends committing crimes basically. And I knew I wanted him, so I was like, just cast your friends. And then he did, and the reading was awesome. And then we produced the play, and it was a big hit. Like, people loved it. To be honest, I hadn't considered turning it into a movie until the success of the play. And then so many people said, this has to be a movie. This is so good. So then when we finally did shoot the movie, I kept Kyle McDonald and Julian DeZotti, who played the other lead. So they play the two biggest roles in the feature film as well. And their chemistry is like really, really important. And then we had to swap out the two other guys who did the play because both of them had left the industry by the time we shot the feature.
Yeah. You're also had several appearances on another show, right? Called My Roommates and Escort.
Yeah, it's a web series. So I'm actually the male lead in the show. I appear in 9 episodes out of 11. My Roommates and Escort is, you know, one of the most successful web series ever produced out of Canada. It's gotten like millions and millions of views, lots of good reviews from prestigious outlets appear. Yeah, it's funny. It's like a really sort of like goofy comedy. Katie Ullman was the director. It was created by Katie Ullman and Trish Renone. It's just really, really funny. It's got a really unique, original sense of humor. Okay. And I think that's why it's been so popular.
Yeah. What do you have any other projects that you're working on that you see yourself, working on in the down the road?
So I just acted and I wrote a play called Professionally Ethnic, which was a big hit up here in Canada. We got rave reviews, and Now Magazine, which is a big production, big publication up here. They just said our show is one of the best plays, productions, and casts of the festival, out of 52 shows. And that just finished like a couple weeks ago. And now I'm the lead in another play called Grab Him by the Pussy, which is all like basically an anti-Donald Trump play. And I've also optioned a series to a producer called 40 and Divorce, where I'm attached as the creator and star.
Canada is, you know, a lot of people, or not a lot of people, but like a lot of, seems like a lot of things from the U.S., when they want to get things filmed, they take everything up to Canada.
Yeah, because our dollar is like so much cheaper and we have like really good crews and stuff. So it's like you save money and you have a lot of people who know what they're doing who can get your movie made.
Yeah, and there's a lot of shows that get filmed in Canada and they get aired in the U.S., like Arrow and I forgot what else. I think Flash, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons. They're still constantly shooting U.S. stuff. A friend of mine was just in X-Men and they shot X-Men up here.
Yeah. Oh, they shot the movie up there?
Yeah. Oh.
All right. So if any listeners out there want to get a hold of you, you know, maybe try to work with you in projects like that, how do they get a hold of you?
Probably the easiest thing is Twitter. I'm at @Bobman. I also have a growing sort of Instagram profile. It's at Bobby Del Rio. I am on Facebook as well, so if you want to add me there, it's just my name. I add everyone, but sometimes people get crazy, so I have to unfriend them rather quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you seem pretty good on Twitter. You know, I see you tweet back to people when they ask you questions.
Yeah, I get back to everyone. I mean, there have been some people who have been kind of abusive, so I just block them. But for the most part, people are pretty cool. I mean, I try to treat people with respect, so I generally get that back.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks for coming on.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem. Maybe I'll come back on in a few months. Let us know what's going on with everything.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, thank you.
All right, peace.
Thanks so much for listening to the Man Cave Chronicles. Follow them on Twitter @ the MCC Podcast. We'll catch you next time.